This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are back here on the morning shift in our 7 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. It's mock draft season. And Woo! Thank goodness it is almost real Woo! Draft season.
We're in the prime of mock draft season.
We are definitely in the prime of mock draft season. So we'll bring you this latest one. It comes from the Athletics beat writers. And, you know, we can look at the number one overall pick, Tennessee Titans, taking Cam Ward. Two, Cleveland Browns taking Abdul Carter out of Penn State. And let me just go ahead and jump to 15 here, because they have the Atlanta Falcons taking, isn't this your guy, Bo?
Emeanuwari?
Yeah.
Nick Emeanuwari?
I like him.
I think he's a great player.
I just like saying his name.
I think he's relevant because I think he's one of the two best safeties in this draft, and I think the other guy is in where we talked about last segment in Athens, in Malachi Starks. I think those two are two of the best. Now, Emeanuwari, who, as you mentioned, Kendall had them taken in this mock draft that's done by the Athletic beat writers of the teams, is he tested off the charts. I mean, he was phenomenal in his test. I think he ran like a 4.38 or something like that in the 40, had a 43-inch standing high jump, which some people call vertical. I call
6'3", 220 pounds.
Yeah, he's a physical specimen. You can say that, and he's a freak on paper. He played well too. It's not like he was bad on film.
Yeah,
not like he had a bad year. The problem I have with all this, Mike, Tiffany, is that Josh has the Falcons taking him at 15, Josh Kendall. And by the way,
ding.
Josh Kendall used to cover South Carolina, the University of South Carolina. So he probably has a little bit more knowledge about Nick Emeanuwari than people would think, because he still has contacts deep in that program.
Are you concerned where the division rivals are in this draft and who they selected?
No. What I'm concerned with is we took Emeanuwari over Jalen Walker.
You could make the argument that, and I think I would stand on this, that I would rather have the five guys in this mock directly after Josh Kendall's pick than his actual pick. And it's not it's nothing against Emeanuwari. It's safety, and I'll run down the list. You can get back to your point. Arizona Cardinals at 16 take Jalen Walker. Mike Green goes 17 to Cincinnati. Will Johnson, the corner of Michigan, goes 18 to Seattle. Jahad Campbell goes 19 to the Bucks, and Shamar Stewart goes 20 to the Broncos. I'd rather have any of the five of those.
So the Falcons need a safety. There is no doubt. If Jordan Fuller maybe can come in here and have a good year, but then again, maybe he has the year like he did in Carolina, so that's a coin toss. He's not a guy you can't depend on. Now, maybe that they think him and DeMarco Helms are going to go fight for that spot, and or maybe use them in some kind of rotation. I don't know. You need it, but the reality is you need safety depth still. That said, though, I agree with you, Mike. I'd rather have Jalen Walker, Mike Green, Jahad Campbell, even Will Johnson, because I think it makes your secondary. I think we've got to stop. We've got to, and Josh is doing it with this, but we got to stop saying edge, 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 and say playmaker, playmaker, playmaker.
Well, if you have somebody that is a playmaker that happens to be an edge, that helps your secondary.
100%.
Like,
an absolute 100%. And I made the point I made yesterday when we were talking about Fuller, the signing of Fuller, is it was very clear to me turning on his Rams film from 2 years ago that he knew that they had a good pass rush. Like, he's jumping routes, he's flying up, like, he's not even hesitating. You could tell that when he gets to Carolina that he's not quite in sync with what he's seeing up front. And for, you know, for that reason, he seemed a little more hesitant on the back end to go, do I jump this route? Do I step in front of the ball? Or is it a double move and my pass rush is never going to get there?
It's everything. And that's what those guys, and just since we're talking about the Rams, that's what those guys in the secondary would tell us, you know, when we had meetings with them or talked to them on the sideline. It's just how much having someone up there like an Aaron Donald, like the rest of that defensive line, impacted the game and gave them so much work. Made them so much more comfortable and able to play freely, you know, positions.
To your point, Tiffany, that's why Jalen Walker going. That's why taking him over Jalen Walker doesn't make a lot of sense to me, because there's no way to quantify this, but Jalen Walker might be the based on film and versatility and athleticism, what he is as an athlete, he might be the biggest playmaker in the draft defensively.
Yeah.
Because he can line up in he's a three down linebacker that you can even use coming off the edge in pass rush situations if necessary, or if you want. And you look at the way he plays the edge in the run, you know, and he's going to be stuck next to Caden Ellis. And you know what? You could use Caden Ellis more in pass rush situations with Diablo and Jalen Walker on the field if you have three linebackers.
Well, and I think that there are multiple guys in this draft that I think can play one role as they develop at a different role. I think Jalen Walker is that. I think you can use him in a sub package, you know, as a rusher. I think that you know, we've talked about Jadae Barron, the corner out of Texas, that could possibly be a guy that can play a nickel or an outside corner as he probably develops into a safety. Jadae Barron is kind of reminds me of what's the guy's name in Detroit? Brian Branch, who's in Detroit, who plays that kind of nickel, has turned into an all-pro level player almost in a couple of years up there in Detroit, that you feel like can fill multiple roles as they develop and as they start to understand NFL defenses. So I'm with you, man. Like, and this is not anything against Nick Montewari. A safety at 15, though, it's going to be tough to swallow. And I think I feel the same way about Malachi Starks. I love Malachi Starks. I know they do, too. But you start getting in the 15 range, and you're going, wow, that's really early, shown to do before.
Well, then I want to go back to Montewari and then Starks, because what Josh Kendall has as separating the two is really the combine testing. And is that worth it to you guys to have Montewari picked over Malachi Starks?
Oh, that's such a good question. What's the ceiling? What's the floor? Who's a ball hawk? Who's a playmaker? I don't know. I think you need great athletes. I think here's how I feel about it. And we said this same conversation about Divine Diablo. You got to have athletes on defense moving forward. And it has shown its head multiple times over the last few years that when we go against quarterbacks, Kyler Murray, Jaden Daniels, what's old buddy's name that came in here the first freaking week he was with the Vikings 2 years ago?
And Josh Dobbs.
Yeah, Josh Dobbs. I mean, couldn't tackle the guy. Couldn't tackle him. He didn't even know the offense. He was just like, let me just drop back and I'll just rush. Couldn't tackle him. So, yeah, if there's an athletic upside to a certain guy and you see their film the same, sure. But what I see is a playmaker, Malachi Starks, and, you know, I think Nick Montewari makes up some of that ground for the testing. I think he's a good player. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, I want to see the film as well.
And to everything you just said is why I question Montewari over in this mock draft over Jalen Walker.
I agree.
I also think that if Jalen Walker made it to 15, I think the pick would be in. You know, if Roger Goodell announces For the, and with the 14th pick in the draft is the Indianapolis Colts take Colston Loveland, tight end, Michigan. I think that he would start to walk off the stage and some, and he's like hugging Colston Loveland and everything, and someone would be like, the Falcons have already made their pick, and it would be Jalen Walker.
Yeah.
I just don't – he's got everything, everything that this team needs. He's quick. He's physical. He's a good tackler. He's aggressive as hell. He can come off the edge. He's a playmaker.
Yeah.
And on top of all of that, you know, he justifies taking the entire Flowery Branch campus, including the chef, to Athens to look.
Throw him on the Sprinter van, baby. Yeah. Let's go.
I mean, so, you know, Arthur's like, hey, why did we spend $700,000 on March 13th? And they're like, well, we had to go to Athens. He's like, what do you mean? He's like, well, we took everybody. We flew in our regional scouts, and our national scouts to come
make a stop at the Quick Trip.
we actually went past Athens and found the Buc-ee's up 85 and then came back. But I mean, I Josh Kendall is locked in. I think he's the guy to listen to when you listen to people talk about this team as far as beat writers. But I just disagree with him here on this, and that's it. Like, it happens. I mean, we'll live. We're cool.
To your point, you get all the way in the back end of this. James Pierce is going 29 overall to Commanders. Walter Nolan, not a first rounder in this mock. So, well, these guys are plugged in and they're beat writers. But sometimes I do think, and I'm reading some of these, reasoning for some of these picks. Some of these guys get a little too cute with this. Like they're trading picks up and down. This team's moving back. I'm like, we don't ever see as many trades in the first round. Like you'll see a couple.
That's why it's a
mock draft. It's and it's fun and again it's cool to talk about. But I'm not on board with Emmanuel Worry over, like I said, probably 8 of the next 10 picks. I just can't stomach it.
All right, when we come back here on the morning shift, tough break for the Dogs in the NCAA tournament. We'll get you up to date on what happened against Gonzaga. And we are going in the huddle. A former Pittsburgh Steeler did not mince words when talking about his former team. That's next here. We return on the morning shift on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Why do you do this? Every time I come back from break, it's like I look over and you're struggling at life.
Because I'm getting it together, so I can go on the air and sound like I'm, like, you know, the smartest guy in the room, which, you know,
you're
sometimes
dealing with
I
the tangled cords we know you have a vendetta,
dude,
out
my,
for cords.
My acronym, or whatever, not acronym, my, what do you call it on your phone? Not acronym.
I'm completely lost. I have no clue.
My phone ads that are popping up on my phone after you talking about the tangled cord is insane. It's
well,
insane.
They're not popping up on mine.
The Airfly Pro, the wireless. There's like all this like cords you can't tangle. Like I saw at least 5 Instagram ads for Amazon the other day after you brought that up. Tired of my phone listening to me, man. And it's only getting worse with the Alexas going on nowadays. They've announced some changes to the files with the Alexas. So
remember the day I talked about the sauna?
Yeah.
And then that guy he either called in or tweeted in a listener. And was telling us about one of those, the personal saunas.
Yeah.
I still got sauna ads popping up on my phone, but
that
I didn't.
Exact sauna.
But the non-tangly headphone things has not popped up at all, which
Are
is
there
weird.
Settings on your phone. I haven't had anything like targeted pop up in a little bit. It has happened, but it's been a while.
Yeah, I don't
and
know.
I wonder if there are certain things on your phone that you can. I think there are.
They did, and this came up with the Alexas the other day that they, and I got to stop saying that because I know somebody's out there maybe listening where I'm probably setting their thing off. But the Amazon Echoes, they announced the other day that they're making changes to where what you say into it will be stored. You can't even turn it off anymore. Yeah, it's like stored in their Amazon cloud. Yeah.
No, thank
and
you.
They're like basically like essentially saying like there's nothing you can do about it. You already own the Echo. And if there is anything that I can't stand about technology is when they change the rules on something I already bought, dude. Like there's nothing that jumps in my crawl like that. Like I paid for this and now you're going to change it.
I rewatched, I didn't rewatch, but probably my favorite Will Smith movies is Enemy of the State.
Yeah.
With Gene Hackman and
R.I.P.
And, John Voight and everything. And you go back and rewatch that. And that movie's made, I think, like 99, 2000, something. Yeah. Dude, it's so freaky. because it's all about, you know, the whole plot is about they're watching us, they're listening to us, and the national security based on that, and like, you know, government viewing. And the problem is like, I don't even worry about the government anymore, like spying on us. I worry about our phones and our Alexas and our TV, like everything. Like everything has something in it where
microphone
you're just
phone and everything.
I mean, you want to talk about conspiracy theory 101?
Don't get it. No.
That's where it started, right there. Stuff like that.
All right. Do you have conspiracy theories when it comes to March Madness and the brackets?
Yes, I do. You want to hear one?
Just press pause on this. No,
oh,
I don't.
Okay.
Let's get you updated on the dogs. Georgia falls in this one 89-68 to Gonzaga after a really rough start to this game.
Yeah, Gonzaga had their biggest lead. They were up by about 16 midway through the second half, and it just never felt like it got any tighter. And Georgia just started slow, bottom line. And I don't know what most Georgia fans were looking for with this team in the tournament. I think a lot of Georgia fans were happy to be selected and hopeful you can make a run, and it didn't end up that way. And you were, I think, 8-point dogs, no pun intended, when you got down to getting into this game. And so it is what it is, man. There's a number of teams to keep your eyes on and eyes peeled still throughout the rest of the weekend, but Georgia just falling flat early and never able to climb out of that hole.
All right, let's get you some NFL headlines. We are going in the huddle. All right, well, Najee Harris, former Pittsburgh Steeler, is now with the L.A. Chargers. He did a sit-down interview with KCAL, the news out there. Why did I forget what affiliate they were?
In L.A.
But I was trying to remember the affiliate they were, NBC, ABC, whatever. Anyway, so he did a sit-down with KCAL, and he was talking about basically his tenure with the Steelers and what happened after Ben Roethlisberger was no longer the quarterback.
It was just a team where, you know, we lost Ben, we lost a lot of the O-line. We just didn't know anything on offense, really. We didn't have identity. We had a young guy coming out quarterback. You know, I was young. The team was young. I really didn't have nobody to almost learn from the offensive side. I think the veteran guy on that team was like a 2-3-year vet. And that's really nothing, you know what I mean? Like, he's still learning himself. And I'm coming in and, you know, I'm just trying to look for people to pick their brain off of. And it was just defensive guys. So I'll go to the defensive guys and talk to them. But, you know, it wouldn't be too much they could tell me about an offensive thing, you know what I mean? So through my years, I learned a lot that, you know, only I learned firsthand. And I feel like here, you know what I mean, we got a lot of veterans that I could learn even more stuff from, even at the quarterback position and the O-line position, you know. So it was an interesting year there. I'll just say that.
Yeah.
Interesting year.
An interesting year. KCAL, by the way, is CBS.
Yeah, it's weird because he ends it by saying it was an interesting year, but then he mainly talks about his time there before, where there was no identity of the offensive side after Ben left. So it's kind of confusing what point he's actually making. But it sounds like the offensive side of the ball is a complete mess. Which, yeah, we know that's what it's shown. I always go back to the fact that they haven't won a playoff game since like 2016, 15, something like that.
It's been that long?
Yeah.
I mean, I know stuff like this always comes up, but I just, wow.
Well, yeah. Because all you ever hear about is Mike Tomlin's never had a losing season. And
which is still important.
It is, yeah. But I can't help it. I go back to this, is why Mike Tomlin doesn't get more criticism about the state of Pittsburgh, and then I see Dallas have all these winning seasons, having like four or five straight winning seasons, right? And then they have all these injuries, and Mike McCarthy gets blown out essentially.
I have a simple answer for this,
and they're the same coach.
It's all about the franchise they're working for, because the Steelers don't. There's no questions around the Steelers head coaches. You know, they've had three head coaches their whole existence. Jerry Jones is going to come out and he's going to fire coaches. And that's why it's like it's like blood in the water for sharks, man.
But,
like, that people are going to pay attention to the Cowboys' successes or lack of it, and they're not going to ask questions about Steelers head coach.
But here's the problem for me is it's more how the coaches are viewed throughout media and by fans. Mike Tomlin is viewed as one of the greatest head coaches the last 25 years, and Mike McCarthy is looked at as a fat dude on the sidelines that's had some good seasons. And I think if you look at their totality, Super Bowls, they both have one. Playoff wins, I think they have the same amount of playoff wins or within one of each other. Wins total in their entire career, They're within like five of each other. They're literally the same coach on paper as far as everything they've done and all their play. And both coaches are beloved by players, yet one is always viewed as a failure and the other is viewed as the ultimate guy. And you look at Mike Tomlin and what he's allowed to happen in Pittsburgh on the offensive side, and who do you blame for that?
Yeah.
How does he not get blamed for that?
But he does. I think he does get blamed, but I think, and rightfully so, I think people point to it and say, man, all the problems they have offensively, and they're still getting a winning season. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can look just to the season opener here last year, and you can say, man, they didn't score a touchdown, and somehow they were still able to beat the Atlanta Falcons.
You could also blame Mike Tomlin for the season go off the rails because he changes Russell Wilson out when the team was winning with Justin Fields. Did the offense get better? It did for like three games, and then they lose six straight. So why didn't you go back to Justin Fields? All I'm saying is it's okay to question sometimes. And when a player a player that leaves and comes out and basically has barely been in the building in LA at this point. I mean, he just got there, and he's like, oh yeah, it's already a better atmosphere offensively for me.
The whole thing from Najee Harris is just weird, and I could go off on this for a while. I'm not a huge believer in what Najee Harris brings, but he's had four straight 1,000-yard seasons with the Steelers. So he's done something right, and he picked somebody's brain, right, and was able to move forward.
A guy told me one time that's just averaging 65 yards a game.
Well, it is. But my point is that's consistency over a four-year span. It's not just one.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they got Jaylen Warren. They're going to be fine. I don't think that missing Najee Harris is like, well, the Steelers are going to suck. I don't see it that way.
And
Arthur Smith probably needs somebody that fits his scheme a little better.
What are your thoughts then? And the tone we listened to it wasn't in a like malicious tone. And I watched the video with what he said.
Yeah.
Didn't appear to be like animosity behind it. But I don't know what your thoughts are on giving your take on your former team when you go somewhere. Is it better just to take the super high road and just not say anything? Hey, I had a great time there, but I'm looking forward to a fresh start here with the Chargers. Or do you appreciate his honesty and telling you how he felt?
Yeah, he's telling his truth, right? We talk about that all the time. He's telling what his truth is. Is that the right thing to do or not? To me, it goes back. And this, we talked about DeMarcus Lawrence with this, right? And him saying,
you knew this was going to be a headline now.
Right. You talk about it. We talked about DeMarcus Lawrence, and now he's like, well, I can go somewhere. I can actually win a Super Bowl or whatever. Micah Parsons was mad about it. To me, though, this signifies the fact that Najee Harris did not feel that relationship maybe with anybody on that team dating back 4 years. Maybe recently, but dating back 4 years.
He said defensive players he did. And if you go look at that team, the turnover on offense is significant. It's at quarterback positions constantly turning over. The wide receiver positions constantly turning over. It's not like he looked to George Pickens for some emotional support. And the offensive coordinators. How many offensive coordinators have they been through in the last 8 years? I mean, so he didn't, and he never called out Mike Tomlin, because Mike Tomlin is beloved by his players. And I'm not saying Mike Tomlin's not a great coach, but he said the only people he could go to that had any veteran presence was defense. Cam Hayward, T.J. Watt. You know, those types of players. So he really didn't call anybody out. He just said there was no one for him to turn to that could help him with a veteran presence on the offense.
All right, we'll keep rolling along here. We've also got a mic'd up coming up.
Yeah, you guys are going to love this. You know what day it is? It's Fair Foul Friday. Friday, you know the vibes. Shout out to my man Dialine Behind the Glass. We'll hit that coming up next. I'm mic'd up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
This hour brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. We are back here on the morning shift, and the Braves have signed veteran outfielder Alex Verdugo to a one-year, $1.5 million contract, and then they optioned him to AAA so he can get some at-bats and, get going now that he's missed most of spring training.
Yay.
Season's next week. Right?
More depth. Thursday. Opening day is Thursday. Can you believe it?
No, I can't. I'm stoked, though.
I don't think we should read too much into this. I think it's good. It's a depth sign. They're asking Dave O'Brien and Grant, what's this mean about Kelnick? Kelnick's done, right? And it's like, no, he's not. Kelnick's going to be. Unless something happens, I would assume Kelnick will be in left field and Profar will be in right, and then or vice versa, and then you'll have Michael Harris in center. I just think it's a death. I think you're just getting ready because you had so many guys go down last year. The other thing that I keep hearing, and I had someone, somebody either Knox or Dylan. Somebody posted our Austin Dylan interview, and Austin's going to join us every Tuesday, every other Tuesday, to talk some Braves with us and other things, all things sports. And they were like, "Hey, Jay Smith-Shawver should be the fifth starter, and he's earned it over Ian Anderson." And I started, I replied to the guy and said, "Well, you know, Ian Anderson's probably going to be your sixth starter because you're probably going to have a six man rotation again." I keep saying this. I am dead set that you can't tell me otherwise, that I think we're going to have a six-man rotation in baseball in 5 years. Literally every team will have six men in their rotation.
Yeah.
I just believe that's where we're going. Wins don't matter as much anymore like they used to as a pitcher stat.
Longevity period doesn't matter.
Because it's non-existent.
Because it's not a thing. Right.
And I think that's the way to get it. We saw it. Chris Sale might be the case study, Mike.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with you. Spencer Strider also fits in that boat. You are trying to preserve, and really, with the and this all goes back to the expanded playoffs. In every sport, every single sport has expanded the playoffs, every single one of them. And it goes back to how important is the regular season. And when it comes down to it, more important than regular season wins is having starting pitchers healthy by the time you get to the playoffs. I mean, it's way above anything else you could talk about. So I'm with you on that. You look at, you know, A.J. Smith-Shawver. You're going to need upwards of 50 players to make it through the season, period. And that's, you know, obviously with the staff and position players, especially with what the Braves went through last year. So Verdugo's good. And it's so funny because I asked you guys this question earlier. I really think it's a lot like Jamal Agnew being added. Like, you might need him, you might not. But
nice to have the insurance.
Yeah, they have good track records where they haven't been good recently. That's what Verdugo has been. He was really good in 2020. Fell off a little bit in 21, fell off more in 22, 23, 24, and has had been on a slow downward trajectory ever since then. That's why he's available to sign on March 20th.
And they're hoping that if Verdugo ever has to come up, he gets the Alex Anthopoulos bump, which, if you're not familiar with that, anytime Alex Anthopoulos signs a player that's seemingly done or has been injured or fallen on tough times, Alex goes and finds him, and somehow he goes through, like, you know how Nick Saban used to bring in fired head coaches at Alabama and they would become a offensive assistant or a defensive assistant?
Yeah, an analyst. Yeah.
And Nick would rehab them, and then suddenly they're back out, you know, winning games as head coaches again. That's kind of what Alex Anthopoulos does for baseball players. He's like, "Oh, you know, it's tough times, huh? Come to the Alex Anthopoulos School of Rehab and we'll get you back." And then they go out and win a Cy Young, they go out and Tyler Matzek, you know, has one of the greatest postseason innings in the history of baseball that he pitched against the Dodgers in the NLCS to close it to help close it out in Game 6. And so that's where Verdugo is headed. That's where they hoped Kelnick would be. That's what they do. Arcia had a bump 1 year, and then he relapsed. So, I don't know what to tell you.
It's the same thing as what we talked about with the James McCann signing just the other day. It's like, you know, hopefully you don't need him, but you could. Nice to have him in the back pocket. We've got our thumb, you know, in the hole.
Where's our thumb?
Pause.
And what hole?
You know what I mean? I was trying to say I don't want to be the little boy with his finger in the dam.
You're trying to steal Reese Witherspoon's line from Walk the Line.
Yeah, Walk the Line. Oh, we've got our thumb, you know, in the hole.
Yeah.
I refuse to be that little boy with my finger in the dam anymore.
Yeah, big pause, man. Sorry about that. Yeah, you already know. Yeah. And I'm surprised nobody called it out. I mean, in real time yesterday.
Butchered the hell out of that one, didn't you?
Reminder, today's Mic'd Up is brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. Hey. Also, a quick shout out to my friends over at Levelon's, Brett and the guys. I gave my backyard its first cut yesterday, and it looks beautiful. I'm excited. And they hooked it up. They hooked it up back in the fall so that when I got to the spring, it would be beautiful, and it absolutely is.
It is.
Shout out to Brett and the guys at Level Lawns.
It is fescue cutting season.
Fescue season, yes. You know what I mean? Got to get that thing down. Got to scalp that lawn just a little bit in the backyard. All right, so you guys know the deal. It's Fair Foul Friday. I throw out this statement. You guys tell me if it's fair and tell me if it's foul. Got a good mix today, I think, that you guys are going to enjoy. All right, how about this one? We'll start with the Atlanta Falcons. I know that people out there are tired of talking about Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins, though, on the roster after Labor Day. On the roster after Labor Day. Essentially, is he going to be on this roster for any regular season games next year? Fair or foul? Bo, we'll start with you.
I'm going to go against the grain here and say I think it's fair. I think he could be on the roster after Labor Day because there's still time to make trades. I don't know, man. I refuse to dig in and set my feet and die on the hill of, he can't be on the roster.
Yeah,
come
it's
opening
tough,
day.
I don't think that he can't be on the roster. I think it's something that could happen, but I think it's foul. I think they will figure something out. A team is going to approach them that desperately needs a quarterback, and I think he will not be on this roster. But you know what? That's an even better question for Albert Breer, Sports Illustrated, because he's going to join us at the top of the hour, so I'll be sure to ask him then.
Real quick, do you think it's going to be weird when Kirk Cousins is playing in preseason games as a number two quarterback?
Yeah. I think they'll treat it like, you know, like they did last year, honestly.
Woo.
Maybe where, you know, Penix not playing last
year.
Yeah,
good point.
It might be a situation where they do. All right, how about this one? And I want Bo to answer this one first, because Tiff obviously is going to have the answer to this. Yeah. Yesterday, we had a long talk about thirst buckets, right? And we talked about, you know, how many messages in the DMs, and we were talking about somebody that slid into Tiff's DMs. How about this one? After yesterday's conversation, there was a new addition to Tiff's DMs. After yesterday's conversation, somebody else slid into Tiffany's DMs. There was a fresh name possibly on the list.
I
don't know the answer to this.
I think it's absolutely fair.
You think so?
I was
kind of thinking it was. I threw the fishing line out.
The world is full of thirst buckets.
Who was that caller again? I forgot. Yeah. That was Menti. Is that Menti that said thirst buckets?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
I think it was. That is correct.
I knew it. Yes.
That is correct.
Yes. Oh, man.
I love being right.
Did said.
Love it.
Fair foul. Did they get a response? Fair foul.
I did not open that can of worms,
okay.
But thank you
fair
for
enough.
Reaching out and
fair
the
enough.
Creepy person.
Yeah.
It's back.
Fair enough. You made it to the request line. I love it. All right. How about this one? Dude, my sixth anniversary is tomorrow. All right. We're going to dinner, doing all these things. Fair foul, surprising your significant other with flowers. Fair foul, surprising your significant other. Some people are like, dude, it's just a waste of money. Don't need to do that. Other people, yeah, romantic gesture. What do you guys think? Tiff, we'll start with you. Surprising the wife with flowers.
It's, you know what? I'll say it's fair. That's fine.
Right.
I wouldn't call myself a flower person. Even if they're already cut, they would just wilt and get crusty in the vase and I would forget. So, but I'd still take them and it's a nice gesture. It's always pleasant to get flowers.
Show her you're thinking.
So it has to be flowers?
I'm
going to say foul and hear me out real quick.
All right.
Because there are some people, as Tiff kind of mentioned, she's not a big flower girl. But that's like some women aren't big on flowers. Sometimes you need to surprise your significant other with something that really
food
that means like that she's like really likes. Like Amy would love flowers, right? But one of the things I figured out really quickly was one of the most important things to her was a card.
Handwritten card.
A card, but you do write a little message in there.
Yeah.
And I always write like a paragraph in the cards that I give her. So find what real thing really your significant other really enjoys and really means something to them, and then do that. And if it's flowers, it's flowers. Great. Yeah.
He's a poet and he doesn't even know it. all right, how about this one? We started off the day, Tiff, talking about her new electric kettle, I think is what
tea
she
kettle.
Said. It was.
Electric tea kettle.
Electric tea kettle. Tiff will use the electric tea kettle more than she does the Vitamix. She was all stoked about the, what kind of soup was it you were going to make?
Butternut squash.
Butternut squash.
With nodes of cinnamon.
I have yet to see that.
Make it.
Tiff will use the tea kettle more than she will the Vitamix. Fair foul. Tiff, we'll start with you.
Well, let me ask you this. Is it the Vitamix specifically for soup or just in general?
No, just Vitamix, period.
I use it every day because I have a smoothie every
day.
Yeah,
is that what it is?
So
okay.
I do use the Vitamix more, but I just got the
should have made BOGO first on that one.
I'm sorry.
I'm going to go with Tiffany's answer.
She probably knows the answer to that one.
I use both every day.
How about this one? This one kind of goes on the back end of that. We were talking about okra yesterday. You guys will one day, and I don't think either of you currently do this, one day grow your own vegetables. You guys will one day at some point in your life grow your own vegetables. Fair or foul?
Absolutely not.
No.
I want to. Okay, here it is. I want to, but I don't like bugs. So maybe if it's an inside,
God, I'm
there's this whole system. But if I had to go outside and garden, I'd probably get stung by a bee. I would get bit by a spider.
Man. I just thought natural ingredients.
I would want
for you,
somebody else
shocked.
To do it for me.
Yeah, you don't want to be a homesteader.
No, but I do want to. I just know my limitations.
Fun fact: my grandpa has a garden. Just real quick,
there you go. What do you think, Bo? One day you will grow your own vegetables.
It's fair. I used to help my grandparents with their garden every year. I'd help them do stuff. And the other fun fact is I had a fried okra yesterday. I met Uncle Beaver for lunch. I had to finally pay him for the floors. And we went to JR's, yep. Log House. And the dude, their country fried gravy. Solid. I mean, country fried steak with the sawmill gravy. Yep. Woo!
Yeah.
And the fried okra.
Very solid spot.
You couldn't. And guess what, Dylan? It wasn't the kind you can mistake for tater tots either.
All right. How about I got a couple more of these I want to get through. Jared Goff will actually be more entertaining than Joe Burrow or Kirk Cousins in this season's edition of Quarterback on Netflix. Jared Goff will actually be the most entertaining quarterback. Tiff, we'll start with you.
I say fair. I feel like he's sneaky. Got like
sneaky,
probably
right?
a good sense of humor.
Yeah.
And would be a funny guy. Yeah. So we already, Burrow, I don't get that sense from him.
He does seem a little more serious, doesn't he?
And Kirk is just more on like the hokey dad.
Goofy.
You know, that side. Yeah, so hokey. I think Goff will be the.
Hokey's such a good word.
You know?
Hokey.
Yeah, that sounded like a shot.
It wasn't a shot. I don't think he was a shot.
It was the arm, the hokey.
I'm just razzing you.
Hey, guys, let's go on down. Let's get some
pizza. Walk
into your trap, take over your trap.
I say it's fair because we've already seen Jared Goff be goofy and funny on Hard Knocks when he was a rookie quarterback under Jeff Fisher and, 8-8, and we ain't going to be 8-8. He didn't even know like what side of the where the sun set. He was like, "Where is it set again?" I mean, he's a goofy dude. I like him.
All right, how about this?
Big Kirkle wakes up dripping like this.
Yeah, Amir Khan, the equipment manager from McNeese, not the state anymore. All right, Amir Khan will be the lasting image from March Madness. Amir Khan, he's already got the NIL deal. He was a big topic yesterday. He'll be the lasting image.
It was everywhere. Yeah. Yes. That will get recirculated
from March Madness
for everything.
This year.
Foul, Walter Clayton Jr. cutting down the nets at the end of the national championship game.
To finish on this one, how about this one? My daughter just crushing these right now. She's almost 3 years old. Powdered donuts, mini powdered donuts, fair foul. Just plain and simple. Mini powdered donuts, fair foul.
Fair all day long. I could eat the whole box.
I love
mini powdered donuts.
My daughter has the same disposition.
Fair in desperation.
What?
I'm not a mini powder
it's
donut.
It's not at the top of the list.
If that is like the only option available, I'll do it just for something sweet. I like glaze. I don't
boo
like all
this
the,
woman. Boo.
Like
boo.
Boo.
I'm
actually going to stand by Tiff. I like glazed donuts
Thank
better than
you.
Powdered. I prefer Dollar. Glazed over powdered.
All right, look,
bro,
when we come back
shameful.
Here on the morning shift, we can talk a lot about Kirk Cousins from a guy who knows a thing or two. That would be Albert Breer from the MMQB. He'll join us here at 8 o'clock. So we'll be right back here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 99 The Game.